Blog Talk Radio.
Anybody know who Willie Lynch was? Anybody? Raise your hand. He was a vicious slave owner in the West Indies. The slave masters in the colony of Virginia were having trouble controlling their slaves, so they sent for Mr. Lynch to teach them his methods. Keep the slave physically strong, but psychologically weak and dependent on the slave master. Keep the body, take the mind. I and every other professor on this campus are here to help you to find, take back, and keep your righteous mind.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Black Socrates. I'm on the line with my brother from another mother. I know people say that all the time, but this brother right here, Chief X, is on the line with me. If you tuned in last week to our first ever Mental Dialogue pop-up conversations with Black Socrates, I'm so glad to have this brother on as we gonna get right into it. It's not gonna be a whole lot of backdrop as I introduce again this brother by the name of Chief X, coming with that common sense science. What's up, Chief X? How you doing, brother?
Black Socrates, how you doing, man? I love you, brother, and I appreciate you asking me to come on the show and have a discussion and talk with you, brother. And they call me Chief
Hey,
X,
absolutely.
The God best reincarnated.
Hey, absolutely. And that's all we're going to do, man. It's just a reach out and chop up. It's a pop-up show. Keep in mind, if you are a regular listener of the Mental Dialogue Talk Show, we still rock every Saturday morning, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Every Saturday morning, so still check out that. We got an amazing show coming up this Saturday as we are discussing how do we build generational wealth, so looking forward to that. But getting into tonight's conversation again, this brother, Ben, going by the name of Chief X, for these shows, I basically reach out and have raw and real conversation with thought leaders from around the world. And this brother, I've been following him for a few years now, and I absolutely appreciate your ability and again, to a certain extent, being a part of the conscious community, but you have a unique ability, Chief X, if I could say this, to critique and agitate the conscious community with your common sense science. I think it makes me smile sometimes to see how you do it. But at Mental Dialogue, one, being a truth seeker and being one that values critical thinking, I always appreciate your mindset tackling different issues and different myths within the community. So that's about most of the backdrop I want to give for you, brother. But again,
right.
I'll let you just, if you will, speak to your ability to kind of highlight and point out, in a sense, why you are so concerned with making sure that our community, and specifically the conscious community, is so knowledgeable in truth and facts and why that is important. Brother, I'll kind of start there with you, and we're just going to chop from there.
Right. And I appreciate that. See, my thing is sometimes a lot of times I play devil's advocate, right? And a lot of times I always tell people, you judge a man by his intent, right? Intent is a huge word. It's a very powerful word. So a lot of times my intent is just to make people think, right? To make them think. We need deeper thinkers. A good thinker with great logic and common sense can solve issues, you know, a little better. See, also, you know, I consider myself a skeptic, right? And that's not a bad word, you know. People need to be skeptical, you know. Being skeptical will save your life. You know what I mean? You don't want to be gullible. See, when I say I'm skeptical, I may hear something that just sounds very good. It sounds good. It just sounds like it fits. But I'm skeptic until I look into it, do a little more research to verify what sounds good. So being a skeptic is a proper thing. It's a needed thing. And, you know, we just need to do that more often. So overall, you know, I just want to make people think, get into what I call the particulars, you know, and broaden their horizon, and broaden their understanding. And when I do that, be controversial or play devil's advocate or debunk certain concepts that we in the what they so-called call the conscious community, for lack of a better word, it also helps them think. It also helps me learn, because we get into discussions. Sometimes it can be a heated discussion, but as I'm doing that, I'm learning. So overall, we're improving each other. We're acting like steel, sharpening steel. And the outcome is good for everyone. Everyone learns, and everyone may have a different perspective after I give my perspective, you know. So it's all positive.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's why I say brothers from another mother, because, again, I go by the name Black Socrates. Our public motto here at Mental Dialogue is all I ask is that you think. And you've laid out beautifully, in a sense, what a skeptic is, but we are in an era now where, you know, the word alone may sound negative, but as you said, and you know, some people may be listening to you right now and say, oh, that brother just turned it around, but the role that you play is a very necessary one. It has always been played in society, where the skeptics, to a certain extent, believe it or not, and I say believe it or not for those who are skeptical of what we're saying, to be fair to them, but the skeptics absolutely are the ones that sometimes move society along, because society can kind of get bogged down in belief systems one way or the other, and you're riding with your side, as you just said, because it sounds good, you kind of already believe it, or you're looking for something, and so it speaks to your spirit, and you riding with it. And here's the other issue in 2018, because we've become a microwavable society with our information, people are, in my opinion, quicker to kind of ride with information without taking that extra step to critique it, as you regularly do. And quite often, by serving in this role, a lot of times we're able to reveal and look up. It's really that, just simply look up the information that others, sometimes you might say, too lazy to do or don't have time to do. And so that's why I feel like your role is so important in our community, because you have set yourself up with a schedule where you are allowed to maybe research it more than the average Joe per se. And because you bring in those questions to say, hey, this doesn't sound good, or here's some more information that I found. And the way we're painting it, again, it sounds pretty easy. But as you said, the reality, when you start questioning people's long-held beliefs, we know that the reality is it is because of cognitive dissonance, people will reject the truth naturally, because that's what our brains are somewhat trained to do once you have a belief system. Speaking of belief system, and this is kind of where I want to kind of jump this thing off, because we've talked about this in the past, Chief X, which is the idea that, as you said, so-called conscious community, we've now come to understand, having become quote-unquote conscious years ago, you and I both kind of feel like, I feel like just from talking to you and hearing your history, we have similar paths, just in the sense that we've quote-unquote been on this conscious awareness for a long time of our lives, being aware of what's happening, even particularly to us as African-Americans. I feel like we have a similar path in that sense, that it's been a long time that we've, in a sense, went down this path. And so speaking of belief, something that I've seen you say years ago and I subscribe to wholeheartedly is, in the conscious community, something that is very unfortunate, specifically for us as African-Americans, who, as we talked about last week on the pop-up show with Baba Amin, the idea that being disconnected from our history intentionally, for one, and to this day, no real solutions to learning our history, to be provided, quote-unquote, by the public school. So many of us are without that history. You know, let's call that what it is. So because of us being without that history, something that quite often happens for, quote-unquote, for those who become woke, you know, that's the new term these days, what happens is typically what people are doing is trading one belief system for another. They're trading belief systems for another, but they're thinking they're learning facts when actually they're learning belief systems. And so that's something that I saw you say some years ago, and I wanted you to jump in right there to kind of address how evil, the conscious community, in a sense, without realizing, in some sense, ends up adopting another belief system almost unknowingly, quite often, in my opinion.
Right, right. Exactly. And I speak on that a lot. It's like, you know, I grew up, I'll use myself as an example sometimes. I grew up in the church, right? My mom and dad sung gospel and done gospel concerts. We used to go to every concert and record them and watch. And that's just how I grew up. My grandparents and everybody, I was raised in the church, okay? So when I was given the book, The Autobiography of Malcolm X, when I was in recovery home in 1992, I read that book, and that book changed my life. I always tell people, the one book that has changed more black men's lives in America is The Autobiography of Malcolm X. When the Bible couldn't change their life and help them see the way, they needed a person that they can identify with, that touches their spirit and their soul and what they're feeling and going through in life. So at times I was in recovery home. I was a victim of the crack epidemic. And I used from 1990 till 1993, kind of hardcore. And when I was going through jails, you know, the sheriff deputies was fucking with me, pushing me in the back while I'm in the jail, you know. Police pulling me over as I drive down the street. So I connected to Malcolm X and what he went through in life, his drug addiction, him going in and out of jails, and just doing the things he do, and him, when he was in jail, starting over and reading dictionaries and just learning. Same thing I did when I went to jail. I said, you know what? Let me just go to the library and stay out of trouble and get me a book and just read. And that's what I did. So that was my intro into the conscious, what we call the conscious community through the Nation of Islam. And a lot of times what we do is we leave the church and that one belief and jump into another belief system, whatever it is. Whether you're more a Hebrew Israelite, Nuwafian, you're still jumping into another belief system. And then sometimes you get seasoned in that information and you change and evolve again, and then you leave those beliefs alone, and then you just might start studying history, science, and things of that nature, and you still pick up other beliefs from other people that they espouse. You know, for instance, let me just give an example. Black folk might believe in holy water, and holy water works. So when you jump out the conscious community, the church into the conscious community, now you believe in chakras and aligning your chakras. You're just switching one belief to another belief, and neither sometimes can be proven as a truth or the fact or the reality. They're all belief systems. So, you know, what I do is I challenge those beliefs to help people think. And my whole purpose is to have people understand that they are an African. We descend from West Africans. Okay, our heritage, mostly 90% of African Americans' historical heritage is West Africa.
Absolutely.
And we have to be proud of that. We can't be proud of West Africa if we're into certain beliefs. Okay, I'm believing that I come from the original Native American. I'm believing that I am the Moor. And all of these different beliefs are taking people away from their Afrocentricity and making them think that. So we're searching and trying to find ourselves through all these different avenues.
Right.
We're searching. We're looking to find ourselves. Who are we? What is our history? What did we really come from? And in this search, it just creates a lot of confusion. It creates a lot of misinformation out here in the conscious community, a lot of bad scholarship, you know what I mean? So in 2018,
in the information age.
Right, the world is at your fingertips. You can click a few buttons and find out just about anything. I can find out about whales in the ocean and how their habitat is by just clicking a few buttons. We just have to have the ambition and the want to learn. Some people just don't want to research and read, so they just follow what others do. Oh, okay, this is what they're doing. Oh, they believe in chakras. Oh, let me just fall in line to what they're doing. Oh, this is how they do it. Let me just fall in line how they do it. And you never done no research to check out what the hell they're doing and what the hell they believe in. You're just falling in and want to just fit in the crowd, and you're happy with that. And that's fine, but I'm just a person who wants to know rather than believe.
Well, it's not fine to a certain extent. Again, I mean, I understand what you mean by it's fine from the standpoint that you're not personally judging someone, you know, and especially when, you know, we also want to give credit, and we do this as well. You know, we're not knocking anybody that's fell into a belief system that has personally changed their life for the better. So we're not knocking it from that standpoint. But to get into the psychology of that and why what we're talking about is so very important is because, you know, we are faced with a reality that like the psychology of how that happens. We don't realize that the psychological damage of being having our history removed from us, we speak to it, we know it, and so the process that the average person goes through, if we want to speak, I want to speak to it candidly and pointedly, is when you start discovering some history that wasn't shown to you, for example, especially if you went through the American public school system and you're African American, when you start discovering some things that are probably some things that are true. You know, not all, you know, like I said, there's a lot of confusion out there, but you discover some things that are true, and you start feeling like, damn, I was lied to, which is the truth. And so the mind goes, well, dang, everything I learned, or you start thinking to this degree, that most of what I learned was a lie. And so because you're rejecting the history that you were taught and what you was learned before that, and as an African-American being exposed, unfortunately, to the enslavement period as a period that a lot of us, you know, kind of shun upon learning about because it's ugly history. And so because we shun it, then we are quick to attach anybody that's showing us any history about ourselves. And so, like you said, there is no due scholarship to figure out if that picture or that picture that's being painted is really about us. And what people don't understand is the psychological damage is so deeply embedded that when somebody shows us their belief system and make that history look like us, and like you said, we are attached to everything but being West African, what people are failing to realize is that's how deep the self-hatred is. We are quick to attach to anything that's still not at our actual roots, subconsciously unaware that it's our self-hatred by not knowing who we are, by being unaware of the self-hatred that makes us push and rush so hard for the first person that showed us some picture of history that looked like us. The Moors, like you just said, come to mind. You know, so any Moor out there listening right now is steaming mad or whatever, because you are the king of debunking, in a sense, how the Moors are propagated. But it's human nature. It's real natural. When I've been shown this terrible history here in America, I want to attach to any history that makes me seem like I'm more than the nothing I've been told all my life. Go ahead, brother.
Right, right. So, you know, just like for one example, like we're told, okay, we're trying to find ourselves. Okay, you're a Moor, brother. And at a point, you know, in the mid-90s, I accepted that. And I used to go to the temple with the Moorish brothers and hold up the number 7 and, like we pray into the flag and nobody, you know, I embrace that ideology temporarily. You know, so as I evolve and study, I hear the history being taught about the Moors. And I'm a skeptic. So I began to do a little research and trying to divine who is a Moor. And the definitions I come across are any Muslim in America, and that the Moors conquered the Iberian Peninsula and Spain and was running Morocco. So I began to do a little more research, and I'm like, if black people conquered Spain, then they should have, Spain should have a black leader or king at some point. I couldn't find not one black since the beginning of mankind up until today, whoever ran or was the king of Spain or Morocco, that area was North Africa, and a lot of Eurasians and Berbers and Arabs populated that area, and it was the Arabs who conquered Spain, not blacks. You know, Arabs had babies with African women, and, you know, so it was armies of mixed Arab-African babies, and they all had allegiance to their daddy. So I find out certain things that we learned were just wrong. You know what I mean? We were just West Africans. West Africans didn't too much inhabitate the areas of Algeria and Morocco. Those are always Eurasian, Berber, Arab areas historically. Now, you know, people got mad at me for that, but it's just the truth.
Well, here's the cool thing about it. We're going to jump into some more up-to-date stuff to a certain extent. But the idea that you just simply ask, and this is the beauty of, you know, when you say you're just trying to make people think, or the motto, as I say, all I ask is that you think, as I listen to you break down what made you, in a sense, kind of move out of that, again, having been a brother who actually went into the Moorish temple to, you know, at one time accepting that belief system, and the question that you end up asking that was so simple, and this is the beauty of a skeptic, is the idea that you just simply say, okay, well, let me go see who the black leaders were during that period of rule. Like, that's a very simple question that had you questioning the information that you were receiving. And that's the beauty of what you were saying in the beginning of being a skeptic, in the sense, like you said, being able to ask. I always say, to get to the right answer, sometimes you got to ask the right questions. And so I just think it's personally beautiful to hear and watch you, you know, tell your own story in this. So you're not even, in a sense, doing this from the outside looking in, just saying, hey, I don't believe what you believe. You actually went through the experience and says, well, here's how I started questioning, and in a sense moved away from, you know, a lot of that thinking. And you and I, and just to mention this very briefly, you know, you and I, you know, have brought, in a sense, that Moorish teaching to task, because they, in my opinion, sometimes are the hardest with the most misinformation that have led to some very dangerous situations with some of their legal information that they're providing to some of our brothers and sisters who are out here, unfortunately, sometimes testing law enforcement with, and or in courtrooms with basically a bunch of babbage. So I'm just calling it out. You know, I may become a target. I know you've been a target. Go ahead, brother. Jump in, please.
And let me just interject this one thing. It's just this one phrase that, you know, I came into about 5 years ago that just improved what we call methodology, your methodology of research. That one phrase is a word I kept hearing a lot of brothers in Amun-Ra Squad, Team Osiris, and Dagger Squad. They kept throwing this word around, and this word was called confirmation bias. And they kept throwing this around, and what the heck is confirmation bias mean? So I started researching the word and looking it up, and it just means that if I'm trying to figure out an answer to something that I actually believe, I'm doing myself a disservice if I only seek out information that confirms what I already believe.
Absolutely.
I'm not looking at the opposing information. I am only researching and only looking at information that I can find that confirms what I believe. I'm not looking at the information that goes against my belief and reading that intensely. Once I start reading the information that goes against my belief and read that intensely, my whole frame of thought will change because I'm not biased anymore. That's why they call it confirmation bias.
Absolutely.
So when you do research, you got to have proper methodology and research both sides. And then you use your logic to come to a conclusion. And you have to let your emotions go. This is not an emotional thing. Whether you just really want to believe that and you're just mad that you were wrong, you have to let all your emotions go and deal with the facts, deal with the proof, and then the information, and then you evolve. If you don't do that and you use confirmation bias, you will never evolve. You will continue to believe what you believed. That's just a little interjection.
Hey, it's beautiful. No, it's a great interjection because I want to relate it to you having read Malcolm, you know, and that, you know, changed your life. Myself and Baba Amin Ojiwo from last week, he talked about, and you're kind of correct when you talk about that book changing African-American male's life specifically. He said that was a book to change his life. It was absolutely the book that changed my life. And check this out, TJ, I came across it in the eighth grade by accident. But the thing, and I've read it three times, the thing that I always took from the autobiography is right on what you're talking about right now. When I talk to people about the autobiography of Malcolm X, I very seldom hear people talk about this specific part. But when you were talking about how he was reading in jail, the thing that I learned from Malcolm at a very young age, because he became my idol. I grew up in South Carolina. All I knew was Martin Luther King. So I come across this book by accident. I went to growing up to church, and I'm a big fan of Martin Luther King. So I want to make sure that's real clear. Love Dr. Martin Luther King. Now I went through a period where when I'm first learning about Malcolm, I kind of fell away from that. But as you just said, when you start reading more information on both, then it comes to term. You have to admire both of those brothers. Period. Point blank. As a side note. But back to Malcolm and his confirmation bias, if you recall, the reason he became the absolute best debater, because, he got involved in those debates within the prison, the reason that he became the best debater is because when he would put together his debate in those prisons, if you recall in the book he talked about it specifically, he would prepare his debate from the other person's side first. So he would already have all of their information before going into the debate. And that was a little trick that I never forgot, and it definitely has helped me in my life. And so you're absolutely right that confirmation bias, the simplest way to look at it in 2018 is people that say, I like CNN and I hate Fox, or vice versa. I like Fox and I hate CNN. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, for people that even waste time with the dumb boxes, I called it.
Right, TV programming. Right, when I used to watch, when Obama was coming to office, I became a political junkie. I even did volunteer work for the Obama administration. And I would go to the Senate. Yeah, for real. I said, we're going to get us a black president. Just if it's just for the visual and the mindset of the kids. I went to this little Senate and I was doing calls and making sure people were going to vote for Obama. I've never told nobody this. But I was at the damn call centers trying to make sure people were going to vote for Obama. And I became a political junkie. And all I would do is watch MSNBC. No other station. Then I say, you know what? I'm getting my mind flooded with nothing but the Democratic point of view. Just flooded. It's just embedded in my head. So then I start watching CNN, which is, to me, in the middle. Fox is far right. NBC, far left. In CNN, in the middle. So I start watching in the middle stuff to get both side perspective. Then sometimes I go to Fox News and get their perspective. So when you do that, it just changes, and you just learn a little more. You get a little more info that you didn't have before.
Yeah, when it comes down, real quick on that note, even if you're even wasting time with TV programming, because, again, for the most part, if you get your news from the TV, you're probably getting a whole bunch more misinformation than you are good information. But I will say for those who do spend time and still do that, I tell them, if you never listen to the other side, you never know when your side lying to you. You never know when your side is lying to you.
Right.
If you lock in, because best believe, both sides is lying. That's the crazy part, because we all agree with that. Like, you can't even tell nobody that they don't believe the media is BSing them. You feel me? But you will lock in to one side, which is human nature. You want to hear more of what you already believe to confirm what you already believe.
Right, and
that's which,
just trying to come to the conclusion that they just one monster with two different heads.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So again, speaking to that is beautiful, but let's bring it into context to an issue. I've been watching you kind of go head to head with a lot of people now trying to understand, and this is an area that I think is very important. And, I brought you on the show for the actual Mental Dialogue show for some other shows, but in particular, recently I watched you talk about these vaccines, and there's a lot, there's so much so much misinformation out there about vaccines. And so I'm going to kind of let you tell me your thoughts, and I'll give you my thoughts after you kind of share with me how you feel about vaccines. And if you will, particular to how a lot of people, unfortunately, I say unfortunately because I kind of agree with a lot of what you're saying. I'll say that going off top. Unfortunately, in the conscious community specifically, it's not only the conscious community. There are a lot of people that are following a lot of misinformation when it comes to vaccines, but particular to the conscious community, just tell me kind of where you land with that versus how our community has, quote unquote, looked at vaccines coming from the government.
Okay. So I used to be halfway on the side of what they call the anti-vaxxer movement. Okay. And everybody was flooding the conscious community with only anti-vaxxer information. It was that confirmation bias thing. If people see a meme, some blogs, and, you know, like everything on the internet don't mean it's true. People see memes and blogs, and everybody's bashing vaccines, and vaccines is killing us, and this and this and that. I said, okay. So I started, it will be because people have these fears of the government trying to kill us. The government means us harm. And in a sense, yeah, but it's so many different issues. It's like 1,000 issues. And not on every issue they're trying to kill us. Some issues they're trying to advance science and advance humanity and advance the quality of life. So I started listening to and doing research on the side of real scientists, real chemists. You know what I mean? Because a lot of us sometimes are anti-science in our ideology. So I said, let me just start reading what the chemist is talking about. Because the flu virus and vaccines and things like that are compounds and chemicals. Who chemists know about. Why am I sitting here listening to some cat from the hood who never took a science class, right, to tell me about compounds and stuff and information in these chemicals? You get what I'm saying? That would be called confirmation bias because I believe these blogs and these memes and shit, and everybody's talking about it. I'm just going to fall in line and believe everybody. I said, no, let me go to the professionals. Okay, so I have to first understand that all these professionals don't have bad intent. And I start studying why a lot of these vaccines were used in the first place. And mainly the vaccines were used for just basic shit, mumps, measles, chickenpox, polio, and things like that. I said, okay, that's a good thing because them diseases can be deadly. Okay,
absolutely.
And I started saying, okay. Damn, well, we don't have serious outbreaks of mumps, measles, chicken pox, and polio in 2018. So whatever they did to eradicate that actually worked. I'm not making that up. That's the truth. It worked.
Facts.
This generation does not have those. When I was a kid, I had the mumps and chicken pox. Let's just be real.
Chicken pox.
My friends was contracting
it.
Huh? Yeah,
I had chicken pox. I missed the bumps, but I had the chicken pox, absolutely.
Yeah, one of the three somebody's going to have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we're around people who weren't vaccinated and we easily caught it. That's why we got it. The vaccine science has changed all that and eradicated those diseases. And also, millions of lives have been saved. I don't know if people have ever looked into it. All you got to do is look into how people died of chickenpox, measles, polio, all these things, and they were dying. We're not dying of that no more. That means that's a benefit. Vaccines weren't harmful. They helped humanity. But people will then conflate issues. So they'll conflate the flu vaccine with all the other vaccines, and they'll just demonize every single vaccine instead of just focusing on, oh, hey, the flu vaccine may not be as healthy, focus on that. When you get to talking about other vaccines, you're just parroting what you've heard in the conscious community without doing any research. Those vaccines have been valuable. So now we have the anti-vaccine movement out here, and people aren't getting vaccines anymore, and they feel that, hey, I didn't give my child vaccines, and my child is fine. Hey, what the hell we need vaccines for? And they don't understand that your child and the people who are not getting vaccinated today didn't get those diseases because others around them are vaccinated, which protects them.
Absolutely.
So I got vaccinated for your benefit. It helped you. It helped your child not contract chickenpox, measles, rubella, polio, and all those things. That's a benefit. Now, when this generation gets flooded with all this mis-science information, this bad information on how vaccines are harmful, when they get flooded with that information, this generation stops doing vaccines. So guess what happens? This generation won't catch it.
You'll see a return.
The next generation, 50 from years from now, will start getting it again because this generation got fooled and drunk the damn Kool-Aid and stopped getting vaccines. Now, that next generation will get them again because if you read, you will see mumps and chickenpox is on a small comeback because of anti-vaxxer movement.
Misinformation.
And no one understands this because they're not really reading and they're doing confirmation bias. Vaccines have helped. And I've posted videos on this.
Let me dig in deeper for anybody that's listening that's just in complete disagreement with you because they've read plenty of confirmation bias, you know, all this backup information that says vaccines are this and vaccines are that. But like yourself, again, being a researcher and liking to research and, you know, again, for anybody that's already in disagreement with what we're saying when it comes to vaccine, they're like, you know, their thought process is, well, it says your information is more truer than mine. But as you said, when you go to the actual scientists and what I found out having a friend in the CDC, and again, I know people are going to hear that as, oh, that doesn't prove anything, but here's the reality. When I found out that everybody in the CDC is vaccinated and getting their children vaccinated because this is where it's studied and this is where the so-called conspiracy of these vaccines are out to harm us and unfortunately in the conscious community in particular to harm the black children specifically, this, again, like yourself, when I do that research and then be able to have conversations with scientists who absolutely get their children vaccinated, because why would they do it, you feel me, if there was a danger
right.
in it? And having talked to a CDC scientists who come to find out they can't even come on record per se to negate the vaxxer movement, I think as you call it, that movement, because they figured out in the misinformation age how people process information, that to go out and publicly negate actually will help to validate the movement even more. So their smarter play is to keep recommending that people get vaccinated and never directly negate the misinformation of the vaccine movement. Because you see what I'm saying? Because that's what makes sense now. It makes sense that if they were to try to go against it tit for tat, it would only serve to validate more people believing, well, whoa, why are they pushing against this movement? Oh, the government's only pushing against it because they want to hide the fact that they're out trying to kill us. And you know what I mean? And speaking of that, trying to kill us, that's a very crucial concept within the conscious community that is really unknowingly being driven by our fear of, in my opinion, white people in general. See, I always speak
let me give you this.
Yeah, jump in, brother. Please jump in.
Let me give you this example too. Okay. As a scientist, say, just say, for instance, I'm a scientist. For me to get some acclaim, notoriety, and move up in ranks and be looked at as a person who's on point as a scientist, it's the same goal as a basketball player. His goal is to do the best he can so he can make it to the NBA, get acclaim, and then so he plays the best he can, right, to move up the ladder and be a Hall of Famer or whatever. He plays. This is the same thing scientists do. If a scientist is giving bad information, they're going to kick him to the curb and not publish his works. They're not going to publish none of his information. His teachings is bad. His research is wrong. So he doesn't move anywhere in life. Okay? So when people are thinking scientists are lying and bullshitting and putting the, no, they're not. They are trying their best to come to a conclusion.
But their best foot forward.
Right. And they're trying to, what do you call it, invent something. They invent something that's beneficial to their career. So these guys are sincerely trying and improving the quality of life for humans. Now, of course, you have bad apples, you know, but those are just human beings.
Here it is. But we, they're just making mistakes, or they didn't get their science right, they didn't get it correct. But here's the perfect example, and I wish I could think of the guy's name. But basically, the guy that's pretty much kind of noted for, and we've talked about this before, but it's the guy that's noted for foods. What's the GMOs? Yeah, the guy that's noted, most noted historically, you know, for GMOs, that guy who received, you know, Nobel Peace Prize because he's understood within the scientific world of having saved so many lives because there are places in the world where, you know, being able to provide healthy food is difficult because of geography, because of all types of reasons, and because of, you know, GMO additives and things of that nature, you know, food can survive longer and get to places where it used to could get. And so,
right.
You know, we're in the,
it's,
you know, so
benefit
in this non-scientific world. Yeah, but let me just throw this out because I want to show exactly what you're talking about, how it's so true about those people trying just to be the best and get noted for what they can get noted for. So, again, I can't think of his name or whatever, which I probably should try to pull it up on Google here. But anyway, so what happens is he's just trying to improve food quality. It ends up working. You know, food's lasting longer. You know, these little strands to make the food. You know, all kind of reasons they do it, whatever, even for marketing purposes. And that's where people get into, oh, here's the negative part. Just do it for marketing. That's a reality, too. There's so many reasons why they might, you know, genetically modify food, for example. But here's the reality of science, and this is how our community becomes so anti-science, because it only takes one bad piece of information or one thing to validate, in a sense, our community believing, oh, just negate all science. But here's a reality of GMOs coming. Here's a reality of GMOs coming into play for humans. So this guy comes up with it, and companies run with it, and all kind of companies start using it around the world. And what happens is it takes 10, 15, 20 years for science to finally have enough data to say, well, here's the results of now having GMO in our foods. Because when it's, you know, when it's first saying, okay, this is safe, we can't add this to our food without, because that's all science is testing at first, right? When they're trying to approve it, they're just trying to make sure nothing's being done to be dangerous, because you said they're just trying to advance humankind. So all they can do in the beginning is says, okay, this is not harmful. Well, it's going to take 15, 20, 25 years before there are some results. So the fact that maybe some things now are, you know, within our human bodies or some conditions are starting to exist that maybe didn't exist 20 years ago, whatever they are, they may be due to GMOs, but we will connect that to they was trying to kill us the whole time. No, it took 20 years to find out here's kind of the bad results. The good results is, you know, food could last longer. We fed people that used to couldn't get fed. They would have already died if we hadn't got them the food. You know what I mean? But now,
right,
science, who's working for the best of mankind, will now turn around and say, okay, this right here is now an issue. But we don't even think about science, who, again, is trying to advance mankind. It's now just correcting itself through scientific method. But we will take the correction as that proves science ain't shit.
Right. It's just, since you mentioned the GMO thing, right? So you have, like CDC, GMO. When you hear these entities, they become buzzwords. So
right.
People will think, oh, shit, that information came from the CDC. It must be wrong. And they base that off of maybe one employee out of 1,000 people saying something crazy. Oh, the CDC, you know what I mean? And they just get flushed. See,
exactly.
GMOs, people don't know. Without GMO, a lot of African kids would have starved. People don't even
Absolutely.
Know this. GMOs have helped African people tremendously. Without it, they would
Absolutely.
Have never gotten hold of these foods.
That's
and
why
I
got the Nobel Peace Prize,
in,
not just for Africa, but all parts of the country, you know, South America and a lot of places that people were dying from hunger. It was a huge problem, almost like what you were talking about with vaccines, how we've eradicated, you know, measles and mumps. There's places where hunger has been eradicated in certain countries because of GMOs, but people don't know that. That's,
people
but I'm sorry,
have no clue.
I just want to throw that out to add to what you're saying. Again, you know, of course people think, well, these two guys already agree, but that's just a reality because people won't look up the information that I've looked up to find out what we're saying. Go ahead, brother.
Right. And since I'm a skeptic and I'm a sincere truth seeker, I want to know the truth. So I started
Absolutely.
Researching a little about GMOs. I'm not no GMO specialist, by the way. I mean, but just I just get the basics, you know what I mean? So I started looking into it, and one day I posted something. Because, why are people bashing GMO so damn much? People just running with false narratives. I mean, the majority will. And I said, wait a minute. GMOs have the same exact, and sometimes more, nutritional value as organic and conventional. There's no difference. I eat a GMO orange, I'm getting the same exact nutritional value as eating an organic orange. What's the fucking harm? I posted that. People got pissed off, was battling me for days because they still using confirmation bias. And they couldn't understand. They just thought, no way it could be as nutritious as organic. No way. And when we was going back and forth, they don't mess with me no more about it because I proved it. It is just as nutritional. The only thing people are tripping on is what will be the effects 20 years from now, like you were saying. But you just sometimes you just have to go through the fire to figure out what's real, to separate
that's
the lie from
can
the
do.
Jive.
That's all.
Right.
Yeah, they
and
have to be able to evaluate.
It's not any intent to harm. It's intent to improve. Now, if it don't improve, oh, well, they scrap it. But, you know, you got to test shit. That's what science is about, testing and experimenting. And so far,
I'm gonna
they
give
have
you
not found that
mm-hmm.
it harms. So people are just creating a situation where hell is going to – and they haven't even proven that it's harmful yet. People were just saying
right.
it's harmful
exactly.
because they fear. They got this fear in them.
Right. And I got a friend, and this is to even give confirmation for, you know, maybe GMO – some aspects of GMO is not the best, again, because we're out here just not trying to be right. That's the other mistake that people think about – you know, myself as Black Socrates and yourself as Chief X, to a certain extent. Now, every now and then, I just throw this out to you, brother. Every now and then, I do think you get caught up in trying to be right on some other notes. We might get to some of that. But, you know, I always tell you, I don't give a damn about being right, even though, you know, I'm very opinionated, but a lot of times backed up with information. And so I do have a friend who has lived abroad for a number of years, and she talks about a lot of health issues that she doesn't experience when she's eating, in a sense, the natural foods of different parts of the world versus, you know, constantly going up against some of the stuff she's eating here in America. But she also admits that you're also up against packaged food and fast foods in a way that you wouldn't experience in other countries that are not, in a sense, and it's not even about being underdeveloped, but just in the sense that we are in the most capitalistic society. So, you know, not only are you eating, as you say, a GMO piece of corn or a GMO banana here in America, but little Debbie right there at the corner of the convenience store in a lot of these countries are not sitting with convenience stores with little Debbie's in them either. So it all plays a part. So it's a lot – she talks about how it's a lot more difficult to be healthy here in America than it is abroad. So for her, based on some of her personal physical attributes, she definitely feels like – you know, not being exposed to some of the foods here in America is better for her. And I think that's very fair. I just wanted to bring it to the table so that people would understand, We're talking logical, not trying to be right, not trying to agree with the CDC for no damn reason at all, but at the same time to really battle and address, as you said, these false narratives that has us running out, and then it becomes risky for somebody like yourself and myself who deeply care about our community. No, it doesn't become okay when I got people saying I don't want to vaccinate my children, when I've had a scientist from the CDC, and it's not even my friend I'm talking about, in talking about this with another scientist from the CDC that just happened to meet, literally in my car on an Uber drive one time, on an Uber ride, almost crying, because she was personally hurt that people are following the misinformation, and that's just her being human. She was just being human saying, I hate that people are learning that bad information, because she got out of my car and said, I promise you, that she's a scientist at the CDC. She said, I promise you, vaccines are absolutely safe. All my kids are vaccinated. She almost was crying because she knows that movement is out there, but they can't address it. You know, obviously a one-on-one, nobody ain't got to listen to it to say that proves something or proves nothing. But again, using some level of logic, still having a level of empathy, and I hope what I just said really speaks to the why you do it, Chief X, because I know that's why you're doing it too. When it goes so far that we're starting to harm ourselves, that's when you, as a, you know, as you kind of stepping into that elder age, you feel the need to correction, and so that's why you serve the role that you do, and I appreciate you for it, if I can say that, brother.
And to lead into our next conversation, what I think we're going to get into, I just want to say this.
Go ahead and do it. Yeah.
One time, I was just, because people are under the impression that they're trying to kill and single out, they trying to kill us blacks with vaccines and GMOs and all this stuff. And this is it's not really a race issue. White kids is eating GMOs just like black kids. White kids are getting vaccines just like black kids. They have the same shot card that you got to take to your school, the exact same shot card. It's not a shot card for blacks and a shot card for whites. You know what I mean? It's the same shot card that kids are required to get these vaccines to go to school.
Simple logic.
It's not a scheme against the people, you know, to kill. Nobody's trying to kill, like, say I'm a white man. I'm not trying to kill my own white kids. You get what I'm saying? So
just,
one time I
right,
said,
just
you
to,
know what?
Just to kill you. Just to kill you. Because that's basically what the response would need to be.
Right. So I started saying, why are these top kids? Oh, white foods, white people eat different food. I mean, what are you talking about? The same Ralph's in Compton, California has the same exact food as the Ralph's in Beverly Hills. We eat the same fucking shit. You know what I mean? And people say, okay, well, they got different, more quality items. So one day I went to the Ralph's out here in the hood in Englewood. And I said, why don't you carry this item? Because this other Ralph had that item. And I was wondering why the Ralph's had a different one Ralph had this item and the other Ralph didn't have it. And the store manager told me, she said, well, the people in the neighborhood communicates with us and requests these certain items. They would like the store to carry this item. And that's what the fucking store does. They order that item. Niggas in the hood don't go to Ralph's and request certain items as a community. You get what I'm saying? So if you don't request certain
items,
your store and your community will not have that item.
Let me tell you how much I get what you're saying. Let me tell you how much I get. So what happens is what you just talked about is the key to most conspiracy theories. And this is the breakdown, when I really shouldn't say key, but the breakdown of them. The mistake that we make, because you started off this show talking about intent, and we make big mistakes on intent with this overall arching idea of white people are trying to kill us. And here it is, in somebody hearing me right now, I'm not saying there's no aspects of that. I'm not saying it is 100% false. Let me say that before I continue what I'm about to say.
Just some aspects of life, not just.
Well, yeah. Like I said, and even still, you understand? I don't want to be sound. I don't want, because I don't speak in absolutes. Most people, we have conversations as if people are being absolute. I'm speaking in general. But here's the reality that most people miss in what I call the breakdown of most conspiracies. If I want to learn and listen and learn about a conspiracy and understand what's behind it, and behind it meaning intent, I always tell people, follow the money. The money will lead to the intent that typically, in a lot of cases, has nothing, especially today, to do with race. The example you just gave is the perfect example for anybody who's out there listening. And I'm assuming, because I'm not familiar with Ralph's, but I'm assuming that's those grocery stores out there in the West Coast, brother.
Right.
I'm assuming. Okay, yeah. So you're talking about a Ralph's in the, you know, in the better neighborhood carrying this versus a Ralph's in Compton, or in a sense a lower economic neighborhood per se, not carrying a certain item. It's simply a supply and demand, and when you follow the money, you actually find out the intent. Here's the intent in most cases in the most capitalistic society in the world. It's simply to make the most money that I could absolutely make. And so quite often, something that greed can lead to sometimes dire consequences in a capitalist society for humanity. You know, greed can be a problem. But unfortunately, sometimes what we term into a race issue, oh, they're after blacks, it's just somebody being greedy who's making that decision, not thinking about black and white. They're just trying to make the most money. And sometimes, unfortunately, due to some systematic issues within the country, sometimes if it is a big enough decision that affects a large number of people, then unfortunately those who are poorest quite often are affected more. So we will attach a after black people conspiracy to it when the people at the top wasn't thinking anything other than how can I make the most money and not really caring about the negative consequences. That can happen, but that's not necessarily after killing black people, which unfortunately, when we keep speaking like that within the conscious community, in my mind, we are always subconsciously giving more power to an unknown entity that is not deserved, and all we do is pass down fear to each generation by believing that, for example, white people can change the weather. Like stuff like that, they're really stupid statements when you get into the science of it. But we get into those beliefs and fall into it because, like we said earlier in the show, it is very natural when you start finding out the information you learned in public school probably was a lot of lies or a lot of misinformation that may have been kept, that was kept from us, and not us as just black people, it's kept from all Americans. So we always forget that. Even for example, when we talk about white supremacy, for example, we've all kind of learned the same thing. But unfortunately, as African Americans, sometimes we're on the bad end of that consequence, so we feel it different. But we don't realize we've learned the same information. Again, I'm saying a lot in that, man, but I just know you're the perfect person for us to just chop this up, peel it back, and hope that for anybody listening that they at least do the thing that we both willingly do. I go look for the information on the other side so that I can make a logical decision based on all the information, not just the information that confirms what we're saying. And I'm really pushing for our community to stop talking about they and white people from the standpoint of making them more powerful than they are. Now, I've studied specific issues in which there are issues. I'm not saying there are no issues, but we give them more power in areas not realizing we're making our people fearful, and we're never going to step up in a place while we have subconscious fear. Jump in, brother. I'm sorry.
Yeah, now I want to talk a little bit about school-to-prison pipeline, but let me just make
this. Yeah, please, jump in, man.
Okay.
Yep.
These are what goes on, and it's over people's head because let me just be real. Majority of humanity are shallow thinkers. So what goes on is there are entity battles for money going on.
Right.
So you have the holistic health community. They're trying to fight against and badmouth just the normal medical industry and regular doctors and things like that, because the holistic health community wants to make some money. So you got to try to turn their light off so your light can shine. Do you get what I'm saying? So
yep,
you got to bad mouth everything doctors, the scientific communities do in order to make yourself look good so you can co-opt the money from humanity for holistic practices and things like that. And what the people get confused on, they take sides. When in actuality, the medical society and the holistic health society are both right in trying to help and bring cures and things like that. They're both helpful. It's helpful for me to, you know, go to the doctor and get blood drawn and get a checkup and, you know, whatever. It's helpful for me to take herbs. Both are good. They're just both entities, but they're battling each other. So people in a conscious community, since they've had a history with the government, white folk, and doctors' experiments on them, syphilis and Tuskegee, they automatically, psychologically side with the holistic community and think everything the other side is saying is bad and wrong and some evil intent. You know what I mean? So it's a battle of entities.
Absolutely.
For money. It's all behind money. That's why the GMO and the organic fight.
Follow the
They're
money,
fighting
brother.
For control
Follow
of money.
The money.
Oh, we're going to bash the
Follow
GMO
the
community so we can, the organic community can make a lot of money. GMO community is, you know, talking their shit so they can, you know, continue to make some money. And they're all fighting and they're both, or whether it's organic or GMO, it's all good and beneficial. You don't need to take no motherfucking sides. Organic food is good. GMO food is good. They both have benefits. You know what I mean? Now, I don't know if you want to go on into the – if we have
well,
time.
Yeah, we
to
just,
talk
we,
about.
Yeah, again, we're just keeping it raw, man. And clearly anybody listening can hear how raw you like to keep it, Chief X, and I don't mind that. As I told people, these are raw, uncut conversations with thought leaders around the world. So I'm enjoying this. Anybody out there that's on the phone line that might want to get it in their 3 cents, we'll go ahead and open up the phone lines. Just press one to let us know you want to speak. Got a few more minutes with Brother Chief X. And if you're listening online and want to get in, the number is 646-787-1691. I'm just doing these things again as pop up off the cuff. I'm not necessarily looking to get a lot of call ins as much as I want to share the information and get how you think out there to people to challenge and keep, you know, challenging thoughts and bringing smart people like yourself, you know, to the table. We're going to touch on the school to pipeline briefly. I may probably bring you back because I want to keep these things short, sweet, get people thinking, and just keep, you know, bringing you back for other times, man. But, yeah, I know you wanted to jump in on that because and I'm with you in the sense that, you know, we kind of went back and forth. And let me kind of give a quick backdrop so we can keep it short again, unless somebody wants to get in with us. But I know you put out a post challenging what
wait,
the hell
basically
before,
is. Before you go, how much time
yeah,
we got?
Yeah, jump in, brother. Yeah, jump in. Yeah, go ahead.
No.
Okay, yeah, just so you know, we got 25 minutes if we take it all, but I ain't sweating if we do or not.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, officially we got another 25 minutes if we want to, you know what I'm saying, if we take it, that's fine. But yeah, the thing I was going to say real quick, because we ain't running short like that. I understand why you're asking. But yeah, here it is. I know you was like, what the hell is school to prison pipeline? You know, and I kind of tried to give you some information on it that you didn't disagree with, because you know me, I'm going to bring the facts to the table. So you and I really didn't have a point of contention on school to prison the pipeline when I explained, well, here's what it means. But you took it to task based on the verbiage and the name of it itself, school to prison, the pipeline, because I understand after watching you go back and forth, and I kind of jumped out of the back and forth with you on Facebook, but I started to realize your number one concern is because, as you kind of said, how the public will take it. Tell me if I'm right, I think you're more concerned with that, unfortunately, the average person will, unfortunately, connect that term with the school's intention is to send your child to prison. Now, I think you understood that for those who kind of started out with it or know more information about it, we know that's not the school's intent. But unfortunately, there's information that correlates, you know, for example, reading levels at the prison industrial complex looks at that information to kind of as one of their factors in maybe determining future prison systems. I don't think you disagree with any of that, but you're saying even with that information, tell me if I'm wrong, Montoya, even with that correct information, the issue is people are out here just assuming that our schools are trying to send us to prison. And I think that's your number one issue. Tell me if I'm wrong.
You're correct. You ready for me to speak a little bit about it?
Yeah, please jump in. Yeah, go ahead and let people know again, because I know you're still going back and forth with people. So, yeah, go ahead and bring it to the table, brother.
Right. So let me just tell you what I did today. I did an interview with my ex-girlfriend. I'm going to upload it when I get off this phone, and it'll clearly give people a better understanding, and they're going to say, that's what Xavier means. That's what Chief X meant. They'll understand. I interviewed my ex-girlfriend. Her name is Dana. She's been with LA Unified School District, the inner city, which is everybody's issue, these inner city kids and stuff. She's been a special ed assistant with the LA Unified for 26 years. All kind of schools throughout the inner city. So I said, what better person to talk to and interview than my ex-girlfriend, Dana?
Mm-hmm.
And we just sat down and done a 20-minute interview. It's pretty powerful. I'm going to upload it, and you'll see it later. So I also worked for LA Unified School District for a year when I was like 24, 25, right? So I'm familiar with the system. I'm familiar with the teachers, the principals, because when I worked at Fairfax High School for almost a year, I was a substitute office assistant, okay? So a lady had got injured. She was just on leave for a while, for 6 months. So they called me in to substitute as an office assistant at Fairfax High School, okay? So the vice principal was also, he worked there, but he was helping out because the principal, a few other people were out. So me and the vice principal worked side by side for 6 months straight, Mr. Smith, Fairfax High School, in the 90s, okay? So I got to know him, his ways, his behaviors. I got to know other teachers and what they think and how they feel. And and when people talk this shit, it's like you hear the word phrase, school to prison pipeline. And already, the conscious community got these fears and stuff that we've been talking about all day long. As soon as they hear the word school, their mind automatically goes to that damn school and who's working at the damn school. And who's working at the school is a special ed assistant, teachers, assistant principal, and principal. So everyone starts to point fingers and forget for a second that it's a system, not an individual, okay? So they point fingers at the teachers and the administration that has bad intent or is working in cahoots or is trying involved in some nefarious scheme to funnel kids to prison. So the phrase and the wording in it throws people's mind off, and I realize that. So I was like, what the fuck is a school-to-prison pipeline? What are they talking about? And why are they bad-mouthing administrators and teachers? I began to realize it's above administrators and teachers. It's above their pay grade. They're not running nothing. Absolutely. They're not setting the rules. Absolutely. First of all, administration consists of teachers, basically. Vice principals and principals are former teachers. And if they're in that field, that means they love their work. Administrators are considered like the, I don't want to say office staff per se, but principal, vice principal, maybe a school psychologist or an office manager or something like that. Okay? That's admin. These are just normal people like me and you who wanted a damn job so they can provide for their family. They're not no FBI agents, no CIA agents. They are just normal people trying to make a living, have some damn sex, go to church, go back to work, spend money for Christmas on their kids. Just normal people. I know they're normal people because I've worked with them. I know my ex-girlfriend is a normal person because I lived with her. I know her friends. I know the friends and teachers. These people have no bad intent and aren't trying to funnel no kids to prison. That's fair in the conscious community's minds because of certain programmings and philosophies that's put out there. So then I start saying, well, who coined the phrase? Who actually coined that phrase, school to prison pipeline? I couldn't find it. Nobody knows. Nobody can tell you who coined that phrase. Who was the first person to coin? So I said, it should just be children to prison pipeline because it's outside of the school. And it is the judicial system and law enforcement that's arresting kids and giving kids sentences longer than other kids. And this is not no new phenomenon. We've always had the three strikes laws, and this is, we've always had, you know, even in the womb, they killing the baby and aborting babies before they even hit the death. It's always been a discrimination, unfair sentencing. One white teacher may punish, give this kid 2 days detention, and the white kid may get 1 day. Those are just normal things and discrimination and biases in people's minds forever. It's not a new. This phrase, people are acting like it's some new phenomenon. Unfair sentencing, unfair punishment has been going on since slavery. I'm not saying anything that's wrong right now. This is a fact. So now we get this new term called school to prison pipeline. I already know it's a system that's bigger than the teachers. So I, who may be a deeper thinker, takes the onus off of the teachers and the administrators. Because of this reason, Black Socrates, when a school doesn't run or call shots and set up services, services are given to the school by way bigger heads, like the district superintendent. He got together and collaborated with law enforcement to help them, maybe because gang violence or administrators on a way higher level provide services for teachers in administration. So if a teacher has a problem, if an administrator has a problem, the only thing they can do is what's in their job description. You can't do shit at a job that's outside of your job description, no matter what job it is, because you will get fired. That's called not following the rules. That's called insubordination, right? So these innocent teachers and administrators come with a kid problem, and all they can do is reach out to different entities for assistance, entities that are already prepackaged for them. Not some entity that they make up and make a decision, okay, I'm going to do this. No, they can only do what's available for them as far as services for children. The school.
Yep. Let me jump in right here. Yo, I'm sorry. Go ahead, brother.
The school gets funding by the amount of students that they have for the population right. size and that the stats that they right. produce. The school actually wants great grades for every kid. They want every kid to stay
Absolutely.
There. They even want more kids
Fair
to come to the
Absolutely.
School. I'm just saying that the school,
Absolutely.
Per se, is not guilty of trying to funnel kids into prison. It's a system outside
Right.
of them that is getting kids and children funneled. So I prefer the children to prison pipeline.
Nah,
Did
fair enough.
Add?
I like the thinking. No, yeah, I'm going to add. Yeah, I'm going to add to it just from this standpoint because I still, you know, having understood the term itself, as you one thing you said is as a deep thinker, understanding that it is a system issue, and so you're absolutely right. But again, as we started out, your fear is how, as you said, people's fears will actually start placing the blame in the wrong place, and that's something that happens unfortunately when it comes to any type of systematic. Issues, especially when it comes to racism, where people really get confused on individual acts versus systematic acts. And so in that sense, you're
right.
absolutely right, because, you know, where you and I agree, and you, I think we agree, you know, you could tell me now I'm pretty sure you did tell me you agree with this, where, you know, you kind of, I said the term kind of came about just from a correlation, you know, again, but if you're not a deep thinker or don't understand what correlation means, then you can get caught up by a term and actually start blaming the school, thinking that's the issue, when the correlation is simply coming to find out that there was a huge study that I read myself years ago that unfortunately showed about half the kids, that about 50% of kids, this was done over a number of years, and it wasn't related to the school, the prison pipeline or anything like that, but they unfortunately found out that kids that were not on their reading level in the third or fourth grade, one of the two, about half of those kids, unfortunately, will end up in prison one day. Come to find out, again, follow the money. We talked about that earlier, the prison industrial complex, trying to make as much money as they can. The information is out there and available. They just start using that information as one of their possible factors for where to build prisons or whatever. It's not the only thing they use. Like you said, they use thousands of factors. But since the information is out there and I'm in this business and I want to make as much money as possible, hey, that's something I want to look at since this study is now available. And so when right. you think about what I just said, again, following the money, oh, I'm going to take this information. So once people discovered that, they started saying, hey, what's going on here? And then you couple it with, as you said, the historical stuff that has always went on, black kids being punished too much, black kids being funneled into special education too much. Those are all realities. And so, unfortunately, because of those realities came about as a correlation. But I do agree with you that, unfortunately, people are not deep enough thinkers not to connect it to the school and place the blame in the wrong place from a systematic
right.
standpoint. As you said, please jump in, brother.
Let me add in. And here's the thing, because I worked at group homes because I was in mental health still for I was a youth counselor. I worked at group homes. The kids that are having serious problems in schools are a result of things. Now, they just did this study, but say, for instance, they did the study 20 years prior to they doing it now. It would have been the same conclusion, meaning it's not a new phenomenon if they had been studying
right.
what happens to uneducated kids in 1960.
Right.
They would be in prison. You know, so the study is making people think it's some new phenomenon. It's not a new phenomenon. It's, oh, they just happen to just do a study and find out, okay, yeah, when you get bad grades, you fuck it up in school, you got mental health
yeah.
problems, then you end up in prison. That's all they're saying. It's not a new phenomenon. There's always been discrimination and biases and racism. Okay? That's all I was trying to get people to understand.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
On top of that, these group home kids and stuff that are in there, they're results of era. Crack epidemic. These are crack babies. These are babies who have a lot of kids in these schools actually have mental health issues from that.
Right.
They are bad. Some people have mental health issues that can never change. You can never change. Like people think because, oh, autism is growing. No. What it is they've labeled. Like they don't say Asperger's disease no more. They flip that into autism. So you have less, you don't have no Asperger's diagnosis. They flip them into autism. So that's why the numbers of autistic kids increase, because they're changing the diagnosis of some things and giving them the diagnosis of autism. So that increases the diagnosis of autism.
Right.
It's not a nefarious scheme. They've changed the diagnosis name for certain other diseases to autism. People don't even know that because they don't do the research.
Right.
But a lot of these kids are already diagnosed, already on meds before they enter a certain school. The school didn't put them in special ed.
We experienced that. Yeah, we experienced that. Yeah, we definitely experienced
yeah,
that.
The school
yeah,
didn't
here
put
it is. Let me say
ed.
This real quick. Let me say this real quick So, whereas that's a reality, it doesn't change. And listen, I want people, anybody listening to us, it doesn't change the fact that there are kids that get put in special ed that shouldn't be. So I want people to hear that even with what Chief X, with
that's
his
true.
Emphasis and passion, he's not saying that there are never none of our kids, because, you know, I just talked to Bob Amin last week, and we talked about a kid that kept getting labeled that's thriving in his Afrocentric school, which is what I was kind of making the case for on your post as well, because here's a reality for our kids who are not coming in with the problems that you're talking about, you know what I mean, that are already diagnosed, that are not crack babies per se. Is there a risk that going to a school where there is a discrimination has long went on, and they're not going to learn a damn thing about themselves in history as students. And so is there a possibility that your child, not knowing themselves, become bored and not interested in the way that the public school teaches? That's absolutely a reality that a lot of Afrocentric schools going circling all the way back to what you talked about in the beginning, being proud of the fact of where we come from, well, being able to get that information and push and kind of change the way the expectations that your child will receive in an Afrocentric school is going to be completely different in a public school is the reality of why there are advantages. And I know you would agree with to that part, that there are advantages to our children seeing themselves in school. So I say that to say I don't want nobody listening to you to think that you don't believe in what I just said, but you are opposed of those who are just locking in without doing any research and acting like, as you said, the schools are nefarious in attempting to send just the black children, even though a lot of schools are multicultural, to prison. No, there are correlations that are realities. And if anybody's listening to me, there are smart reasons why I think you tell me if you would agree with this, why, in a sense, if you can afford it in some cases, or if you are able to take your child out of a public school, if you're able to, everybody can't, most people cannot, or if you understand the importance of homeschooling your child, I think, I do believe you're probably an advocate of that for the same reasons that I am, but at the same time, you're not okay with people banging on the school as if there is some nefarious conspiracy against black children. I think, am I right in assuming that you do support African city schools for those better reasons than just some big-ass conspiracy reason?
Being in an African-centered school would be better for a African child here in us African-Americans for their mindset and their education. I'm not big upping the public school system. I'm just clarifying the system information and how that works. And just because it is a public school does not mean that there are not teachers with great morality that love and care for the school. You get what I'm saying? I'm not repping for the public school system saying they're the best either. They're flawed. But I think our fight should be to get inner city schools more funding and better resources. More funding and better resources will help facilitate and better education. Our fight should be resources and funding.
Right, here's another fight, and I said this on your post, and I know you agree with this. The other fight is, just like the prison industrial complex was able to get a hold of that study that just showed, like you said, what we already know, that if you're not up on reading level by third or fourth grade, where our fight in our community but a bigger fight and a better fight is, if I learn that information, it is imperative, if I say I love my children, to at the minimum make sure they are on reading level by third or fourth grade, because that typically will continue throughout their school system. That's something, as a parent, I can do something about. When I got exposed to that information and have willingly used the term, my fight still became the individual fight of exposing parents to books like Reading at One, where you can teach a child how to read before kindergarten. These are the stronger fights than just blaming and sitting back and saying the school's not serving our child. If we want to do something about it, if you can afford it, if you can take the time to homeschool, I believe in it, do it. If you have to go to public school, supplement your child's history so that they see themselves, so that they're not only seeing the superiority of someone else, not just from the way school is taught. Just call it what it is. It is better for our children, as you just said, for African American children to go to an African city school. So again, that I think it's good that you and I were able to clarify just on this conversation, because it's hard to do that in Facebook texts and posts. So I think we've done a good job with that, in my personal opinion. I got about 5 minutes, so you can do whatever you want here. Yeah, please jump in, brother.
Okay. Here's another dagger of people think something people don't understand, because people actually have not even worked in the system. So they just outsiders pushing the fear and the misinformation, kind of like a conspiracy thing. So a parent, if mama can't control her child and have her child sit down, grandma can't control the child and have the child sit down, the school can't control the child and have the child sit down. I don't know why people think the school is supposed to do some better job than the mama, but
cannot
when I worked in youth
cannot
counselor,
do it.
Right. When I, as a youth counselor, when I was working in these level 14 facilities and we had to take kids to the floor and throw them in padded rooms, these kids are not going to change. They're going to be bad. And I used to just look at these kids, and I just had to admit myself, this motherfucker's going to prison. Yeah. Oh, this motherfucker will be in prison. Oh, yeah, this nigga dead. And that's just a reality. It's just a common sense thing I did. Just some now, they don't have to be, but let's just be real. Some kids are fucking bad, and they will be in prison because of their behavior, and they don't have parents, and they're in group homes. They're in foster cares, and they don't have the proper guidance. They're just fucking bad. They have mental health problems, and they're going to prison. That's what the studies basically show. The study basically showed what you already know in your goddamn mind is the reality. It's some bad kids out here. And it's
when it comes out, I like to say it like this, if I can jump this in real quick. I'm actually like Bobby Knight. I saw this video one time, and they asked Bobby Knight, who's notorious for the way he used to handle kids in basketball at Indiana, you know, University. Most of us old heads obviously know who Bobby Knight is. But I remember one time an interviewer said, hey, they said to Bobby Knight, he said, hey, you know, how is it now? You know, this is before he got in any big trouble, right? He was still kind of the man at IU. But there was an old interview I saw, and they said, well, you know, kids are a lot different now. You know, how is it now? Are you having more trouble because, you know, you kind of been known for your style of coaching or whatever. So, you know, do you have more trouble with the kids today? And Bobby Knight said, no. He said, the parents are different. So, you understand what I'm saying, brother? So.
It doesn't
change the fact that, yeah, go ahead, brother.
On top of that, for a kid to be diagnosed with something, the parent had to first seek out service and help. And they have to agree on that service that they're going to be getting. A lot of that shit in these diagnoses and being placed in special ed is on the parent. They agree to it. They said, my kid cannot sit down. This is what he may need. He may not need to be with normal kids. Okay, and they just come together as a team, the parent, the teacher, whoever, and make a decision. 70-80% of these decisions are decisions made by the parent who cannot be absolved from some of this.
And that's what I said that
they
because
only,
you said
a parent
are
can
bad.
Only do
all I
a parent
think about
can only
is,
seek out what service that's available for them.
Right. And all I wanted to say was, you know, when we look at the next generation, all of us have to look at ourselves. Hey, brother, we got about a minute and a half, if you will. You do so much more than what we did tonight. So if you will, man, share information about Body and Herbs, bodyandherbs.com. I take this brother's moringa for my health. The brother's very thorough in what he does. So if you could share that real quickly and just leave a little room for me to mention the talk show on Saturday again.
Chief X, the God Best Reincarnated, always with the common sense science, and I sell Moringa, the most nutritious plant on earth by far. That's not a sales pitch. It's not nothing. It's the truth. And I sell it. My website is bodyandherbs.com.
Hey, thanks a lot, brother. Check us out on Saturday, 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. with the regular Mental Dialogue talk show with my co-host, Christy Gay Dale. This Saturday's discussion question, how do we build generational wealth? As I bring on Evan Jefferson from the Black Billionaires Club. See y'all. Hope y'all tune in on Saturday and spread the word on this pop-up podcast with my brother, Chief X, the God Best. Thank you, brother. We did that, brother. Appreciate you. 100 with you, brother. Go on.
Much love.
All I ask is that you think. Yeah.